Here's your fair value brief for Thursday, July 30th, 2026. The Fed held rates steady yesterday, but bonds aren't buying it. Three officials actually pushed for a hike, and Chairman Warsh's warnings sent the 30-year Treasury yield to 5.09%, its highest since 2007. Stocks dipped, with the Nasdaq down 2.1%, before futures hinted at a rebound, suggesting traders think the Fed might be all talk. Meanwhile, oil's back over $90 a barrel as U.S. refineries run at a record 97.2% capacity. That's draining crude stockpiles and risks keeping gasoline prices and inflation elevated. And in tech, AI spending is under the microscope. Shares of Meta, AMD, and Nvidia fell as investors question whether the sector's $725 billion bet will actually pay off. But profitable software firms like Adobe and Salesforce? They're up, showing the market's shifting from growth at any cost to companies that can actually turn a profit. Now, to the markets today. The Fed's cautious tone is clashing with an oil market that's running red hot, and bond traders are taking sides. The 10-year Treasury yield hit 4.61%, while the 30-year jumped to 5.09%, levels we haven't seen since 2007. The yield curve is nearly flat, with just a 35 basis point gap between 10-year and 2-year notes. That's the bond market's way of saying the Fed might not cut rates anytime soon. And the reason? Oil. U.S. refineries are operating at 97.2% capacity, a record, draining crude inventories and pushing Brent crude back above $90. This isn't a short-term blip. It's a bottleneck that could keep energy prices high for months. Stocks, meanwhile, are split. The S&P 500 dropped 1.5%, and the Nasdaq fell 2.1% on Wednesday, though futures are pointing to a rebound today. The divide is clear. AI chipmakers like Nvidia, AMD, and Micron are struggling as investors question whether their massive spending will deliver returns. But cash flow positive software companies? Adobe surged 5.7% after earnings, and Salesforce climbed 4.5% this week. The message, growth is great, but profits matter more right now. The dollar's holding steady, for now. The US dollar index is unchanged at 100.78, though it's up 1.1% over the past month. A hawkish Fed usually supports the dollar, but traders are also weighing the risk that high rates could slow the economy down too much. The euro stuck at 1.1468, and the yen's at 163.31, as we wait for policy decisions from the Bank of England and the Bank of Japan later today. Today's economic calendar is packed. We've got US GDP and core PCE data at 8:30 this morning. Those will be critical for the Fed's next move. The Bank of England's rate decision comes at 7 a.m., and the Bank of Japan announces its policy decision tonight. With the Fed's credibility already in question, any surprises could send shockwaves through bonds, currencies, or both. Here's the big story. Are bonds or the Fed right about inflation? The Federal Reserve left rates unchanged at 3.5 to 3.75% yesterday. But the meeting wasn't exactly unified. Three officials, Neil Kashkari, Lori Logan, and Beth Hammack, actually voted for a hike. That's the most dissent we've seen since 2018. Chairman Kevin Warsh even noted that rising real yields are doing the Fed's work for them by tightening financial conditions on their own. Bonds took that as a challenge and pushed the 30-year Treasury yield to 5.09%, its highest since 2007. The yield curve flattened even further, with the 10-year at 4.61% and the 2-year at 4.26%, a spread of just 35 basis points. So what's the disconnect? The Fed's signaling it might need to hike again, but bond traders aren't convinced. They see two possibilities. Either the Fed won't follow through because inflation cools on its own, or the Fed will hike and regret it because the economy tips into recession. Stocks fell Wednesday, but today's futures are pointing up, suggesting traders think the Fed's tough talk might just be that, talk. Oil's making this whole situation messier. Refineries are running at 97.2% capacity, a record, and crude inventories are shrinking fast. With Brent crude back above $90, gasoline prices are climbing again. The Fed usually treats oil spikes as temporary, but this refinery squeeze could keep energy costs high for months, making it a lot harder for inflation to fall back to that 2% target. Here's what this means for your wallet and your portfolio. borrowing costs aren't coming down anytime soon. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate is at 6.58%, and it's not likely to drop until the Fed cuts, which might not happen until late 2027 if oil stays high. On the bright side, savings yields are near 5%. High-yield accounts and short-term treasuries are finally offering real returns above inflation. Stocks are telling two different stories. Big AI spenders like Meta and Nvidia are under pressure as investors demand proof that all that spending will pay off. But cash-rich software companies like Adobe and Salesforce are outperforming. They've got the earnings to back up their growth. If the Fed holds firm, growth stocks might bounce back. But if the Fed hikes again, we could see value and dividend stocks take the lead. The next big catalyst? Today's core PCE report at 8:30 this morning. If it comes in above the forecast of 0.2%, that'll support the case for a September hike. But if the number's cooler than expected, it'll back the bond market's view that the Fed is overstating its resolve, and that could give stocks another lift today. Now, the big picture. The Fed's cautious pause is running headfirst into an oil market that's hotter than anyone expected, and bonds are where this tension is playing out. The 10-year Treasury yield at 4.61% and the 30-year at 5.09% are levels we haven't seen since 2007. That nearly flat yield curve, a gap of just 35 basis points between the 10-year and the 2-year, suggests traders think the Fed wants to cut rates but can't, because inflation keeps flaring up. And the big driver? Oil. With refineries at 97.2% capacity, crude inventories are falling, Brent crude is back above $90, and gasoline prices are on the rise. The Fed calls oil spikes temporary, but this bottleneck looks like it's here to stay. Stocks are caught in the crossfire. The S&P 500 fell 1.5%, and the NASDAQ dropped 2.1% yesterday, though futures are pointing to a rebound today. The split is stark. AI hardware stocks like Nvidia, AMD, and Micron are struggling as investors question whether their $725 billion spending spree will actually pay off. But software companies with strong cash flow, think Adobe, up 5.7%, and Salesforce, up 4.5%, are thriving. They can invest in AI without straining their finances, and right now, that's what the market wants to see. Commodities could keep inflation alive longer than the Fed hopes. Oil's getting all the attention, but copper and gold are also on the move. Copper's up 2.8%, and gold's climbed 2.3%. Copper's rise reflects expectations that AI demand, think data centers, and all the wiring they need, isn't going anywhere. Gold, meanwhile, is hedging against sticky inflation. The critical question, if refineries stay maxed out, could oil push CPI back above 3%? If that happens, the Fed would have no choice but to keep rates high for even longer. And that means no relief for mortgages, car loans, or credit cards. Let's take a look around the world. Global shifts are reshaping markets in ways that only become clear when you connect the dots. Start with the Middle East. While the partial blockade of the Strait of Hormuz grabs headlines, the real issue is refinery capacity. U.S. refineries are running at 97.2% use, so any supply disruption translates directly into higher gasoline prices. Brent crude is back above $90. Gasoline futures are climbing, and the Fed's inflation fight just got a lot harder. This isn't a short-term spike. It's a structural constraint that could keep energy prices elevated for months. Over in Europe, energy policy is full of contradictions. The EU just rolled out its 21st sanctions package on Russia, targeting banks, cryptocurrency, and the so-called shadow fleet of oil tankers. But here's the catch. Europe imported a record 9.89 million tons of Russian LNG in the first half of this year. That's an 18% jump from last year. The EU's ban on Russian LNG doesn't kick in until 2027, so Moscow's still funding its war with European energy payments. The bigger trend, though, is nuclear power's comeback. Poland and the Netherlands are fast-tracking reactor projects, betting that nuclear is the only realistic way to replace Russian gas. In Asia, U.S. chip restrictions might be backfiring. Washington just closed a loophole that allowed foreign-owned semiconductor plants in China to export technology without U.S. approval. Now, these firms need U.S. licenses, and they're not likely to get them. The complication? China's Moonshot AI reportedly used NVIDIA's Blackwell chips for its latest model. So these sanctions might be speeding up the very outcome they're trying to prevent, China's push for homegrown chip production. And then there's Japan. The Bank of Japan meets tonight, and the stakes are high. The yen is at 163.31 per dollar, near multi-decade lows, thanks to the BOJ's ultra-loose policy in a world where everyone else is tightening. If the BOJ even hints at normalizing policy, the yen could rally sharply, and that would ripple through U.S. treasuries, global stocks, and carry trades. Now let's talk companies. Meta's stock plunged 9.6% after hours when the company revealed plans to spend up to $130 billion on AI infrastructure this year, double what it spent in 2025. The issue isn't just the scale of the spending, it's the cash flow. Meta's free cash flow turned negative for the first time in a decade, and now the company is borrowing to fund its AI push. Investors' message is clear: show us the returns first. Meanwhile, software is outperforming hardware. While AI chip stocks struggle, companies with strong cash flow are advancing. Adobe rose 5.7% after beating earnings, and Salesforce is up 4.5% this week. The pattern is clear. In this market, companies with steady revenue, think subscriptions and cloud services, can invest in AI without risking their financial health. AMD and Nvidia, on the other hand, are feeling the pressure. AMD shares fell 5.5% and Nvidia declined 3.6%, capping off a tough month for semiconductor stocks. Demand isn't the issue, valuations are. Nvidia trades at 35 times earnings, AMD at 45 times. With treasury yields at 5%, those multiples are starting to look stretched. One energy stock bucking the trend? EOG Resources. While most energy names have stalled, EOG climbed 4.5% after reporting strong production growth. The difference? EOG focuses on low-cost shale, not deepwater or LNG. With refineries running at record levels, domestic crude is in high demand, and EOG is perfectly positioned to supply it. From Washington, the Fed's hawkish pause is the main event, but two other stories matter. First, the Treasury's selling $210 billion in short-term bills today, $110 billion in four-week bills, and $100 billion in eight-week bills. With the 10-year yield at 4.61%, those short-term bills, offering around 5.2%, look pretty attractive. If demand is strong, it'll signal that traders expect the Fed to keep rates high for even longer. Second, the SEC is holding a roundtable today on extending trading to 24/7. Supporters say it would give retail investors the same access as the big institutions. Critics warn it could lead to thin liquidity and wild volatility after hours, which would hurt smaller traders the most. Either way, it's a debate worth watching. Now, let's dig into the data. The Energy Information Administration's weekly report revealed a critical shift. U.S. refinery use hit 97.2%, an all-time high. That led to a 7.2 million barrel drop in crude inventories, the largest in months, and a 3.9% jump in Brent crude to $87.37 per barrel. But this isn't just about oil. It's about inflation. Energy adds roughly 0.9 percentage points to monthly CPI. If refineries stay at peak capacity, that pressure isn't going away, and the Fed's 2% inflation target will stay out of reach. Bond markets have taken notice. The 10-year yield at 4.61% and the 30-year at 5.09% suggest inflation will stick around, with no rate cuts until late 2027. Here's the chain reaction. First, commodities push up inflation. High refinery use leads to tight inventories, which lifts crude and gasoline prices and keeps CPI elevated. Second, inflation keeps the Fed on hold. Sticky CPI means prolonged high rates, so mortgages stay at 6.58% and credit card APRs stay above 8%. And third, high rates pressure stocks. With treasury yields at 5%, growth stocks like Nvidia and AMD, which are down 22% this month, look a lot less attractive. Now, something worth learning today, PPI, the inflation pipeline. Yesterday's big question was, would the Fed raise rates or stand pat? The answer, stand pat. Rates stayed at 3.5 to 3.75%. But the bond market's reaction, a 30-year Treasury yield of 5.09%, the highest since 2007, told a different story. Traders are betting inflation isn't fading. And that's where PPI, the Producer Price Index, comes in. It's the price pipeline that feeds into CPI, and right now, it's flashing caution. PPI tracks wholesale prices, what businesses pay for raw materials and intermediate goods. Think of it as the factory door price, the cost of steel before it becomes a car, or crude oil before it's refined into gasoline. When PPI rises, businesses face a choice: absorb the cost and squeeze profits, or pass it on to consumers and push up CPI. Here's a current example: oil refineries. Crude prices rose this week, but the bigger issue is that refineries are running at 97.2% capacity, a record. They're paying more for crude and operating at full tilt, so any cost increase goes straight to consumers. PPI for energy rose 0.4% in June, and that pressure is now showing up in CPI's energy component, which was up 0.3% in June. Here's why PPI matters right now. First, it's the inflation chain. PPI follows prices at every production stage, from raw materials to intermediate goods to finished products. Copper up 2.8%. That lifts PPI for metal products, then electronics, then consumer devices. Second, it's the pass-through effect. Companies can only absorb so much. When PPI outpaces revenue growth, prices rise. That's how today's 3.1% PPI becomes next month's CPI. And third, it's the Fed's challenge. PPI is up 3.1% year over year, but core PCE, the Fed's preferred measure, is at 2.6%. That gap suggests inflation is still in the pipeline, and that's why bond markets doubt the Fed's 2% target. Here's how this affects you. Gasoline prices, PPI for energy is rising, and refineries are maxed out. Expect higher pump prices in the next CPI report, and no Fed rate cuts until that pressure eases. Grocery bills, PPI for food climbed 0.5% last month. Cereal and meat prices are likely next. Loans and mortgages, if PPI keeps rising, the Fed stays on hold. That means 6.5% mortgages and 8% plus credit card rates stick around. Finally, here's what to watch this week. Today, we've got a busy schedule. At 7 a.m. Eastern, the Bank of England releases its monetary policy report. The BOE's economic outlook could move the British pound and global rate expectations. At 8:30 a.m., U.S. advanced GDP for the quarter is out. The forecast is 2.1% growth. A weaker number could push Treasury yields down. Also at 8:30, we get the core PCE price index, the Fed's favorite inflation measure. The forecast is 0.2% month over month. A higher reading would raise the odds of a September hike. And tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, the Bank of Japan announces its policy rate. Any hint of normalization could spark a sharp yen rally. Tomorrow, Friday, July 31st, at 12:30 a.m. Eastern, the Bank of Japan holds its press conference. Governor Ueda's comments could move global markets. And at 8:30 a.m., Canadian GDP data comes out. The forecast is 0.2% growth. A weak report could weigh on the Canadian dollar. That's it for today. Stay sharp out there.